We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
I think that the person that I pick will be a big, big, I think people are going to love it. I think evangelicals, Christians will love my pick.
The order violates this First Amendment by targeting Muslims and favoring Christians.
One of the worst things that people can do to sandbag their marriage, thinking it's actually going to help to road test their marriage, is to cohabit.
Our conscience is calibrated by the Ten Commandments, which means that I'm making a judgment on what is right and what is wrong based on the Lord's Ten Commandments. But then the conscience can only be comforted by the death and resurrection of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins.
This is Jeff from Indiana. Soldiers on the firing line, love, issues, etc.
We are told today that what used to seem, at least to actually be self-evident, is no longer self-evident. Everything that you thought you knew about, say, the basic differences between male and female, you don't really know that. You've just been taught that. That's the culture's opinion. That's your society, your family, your religion's opinion. There's really no objective truth here. And this whole notion of the binary, that there is male and female, and that those are the sexes of humanity, and basically you fall into one or the other in some sense or another, that idea goes out the window, and gender is a fluid continuum of self-chosen, well, things you might have been assigned at birth, you get to decide later for yourself. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live on this Monday afternoon, February the 6th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about male and female sex differences. Deaconess Cynthia Lumley will join us here in the first few minutes of the program. After that, our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation continues as we look at Luther's treatment of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 with Dr. Ken Sherb. We'll spend a little time with Matthew Lee Anderson of Mere Orthodoxy. He's written an article titled, People Criticize Pro-Lifers for Focusing So Much on Abortion, But There's a Reason We Do. We'll talk about a pro-life view of life. And then Phelan McAleer will join us. He has co-authored a new book titled The Untold Story of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer. The main title, Gosnell, talking about Kermit Gosnell, the abortionist who was convicted of murder and infanticide in Philadelphia. We'll tell that story in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about male and female sex differences, Deaconess Cynthia Lumley. She's principal of Westfield House in Cambridge, England, author of the chapter in the book Ethics of Sex titled Male and Female Sex Differences. Deaconess Lumley, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's lovely to be with you.
As a woman, do you find it increasingly unpopular to even suggest in mixed company that there are objective differences between male and female?
I think there's certainly increasing pressure in society to suggest that there are no differences, or perhaps pressure to try and show that male and female are interchangeable, perhaps. I'm not sure it's an issue necessarily because I'm a woman, but it's certainly a general societal issue.
You write that when it comes to the sexes, equal does not mean interchangeable, and it is wrong to try to demonstrate that the sexes are indistinguishable in order to justify equality. What do you mean by that?
I think, well, certainly if we go back to Scripture, to creation, God created male and female in His own image. He created them, therefore, as equal, but also as distinctly different. And I think one of the challenges we face, certainly in society today, is that because of the pressure for sexual equality, one way people see of achieving that is to suggest that there are no differences between male and female. And I think that's something scripturally that is really wrong. And we, of course, know that there are differences. We are equal, but because of our differences, we're not interchangeable. We've each been given a place in God's order and distinct purposes.
We are being told today that we need to operate with a continuum when it comes to gender, not a binary system of male and female. And we're being told that that male and female are social or mental, maybe even emotional constructs. What really determines male and female?
That's a very good question. And of course, the science related to sexual determination is still developing. And with our increasing knowledge of human genetics, it's enabled us to see, certainly, or to appreciate how complex the whole situation is. And whereas in the past we might have thought, well, your genitalia, your chromosomal, whether you have a XX or an XY pair 23 chromosome would determine whether you were male or female. But the recognition of conditions where people's chromosomal makeup perhaps doesn't match their external genitalia, or there are some differences between the external genitalia and the gonads, are suggesting that it's not as simple as that. And of course, this does then create the challenge of what kind of label do you give to people who have some of these disorders or exhibit some of these conditions. And that's really what's created the pressure to move away from binary and to express sex on a continuum.
So how would we respond to that, given what Scripture tells us about the creation of male and female as predominantly, in most cases, binary?
I think, you know, the first place is we believe the scriptural account. We know that God created male and female, and that's obviously our starting point. And as I point out in the chapter, we don't use exceptions to create the rules. And yes, there are some challenges now caused by some of the recognition of these physiological conditions, but that doesn't take away from the fact that we still need a male and a female to reproduce. And that really is the bottom line kind of definition, I guess you might call it, of the two sexes, that you need a male and a female in order to reproduce. You need a sperm and an egg. And therefore, whether we like it or not, the system is a binary system in spite of some of the exceptions.
Is that, you had mentioned chromosomal sex determination, is that in the end going to kind of be the basic thing if we're going to maintain a binary way of thinking about sex in the face of gender fluidity?
That's a difficult one, and I think there hasn't been a definitive agreement on that as yet. As we do have individuals who may have an XY chromosome, but their genitalia is female, and they have been brought up as females and have always regarded themselves as females. And so you have to kind of consider how you manage that sort of situation and how, if you rely just on the chromosome, you would call them a male, and that can create issues as well. So in some ways, it almost seems, at least for the time being, that we need to take a case-by-case approach and consider not just the chromosomes, but also the physiology, the anatomy, and also the ways in which individuals have been brought up. Because if they've been considered a female because of genitalia, it can be not very helpful at a later stage in life to all of a sudden have to, become a male because of the chromosomes.
So there again, you are addressing the issue of the exceptions rather than the rules.
Yes, yeah.
Let's talk about the concept of, we've been using the word sex here, but is there a difference between sex and gender?
There is, and certainly sex is regarded as scientifically the most correct term when we're talking about male and female. It's a binary, clearly defined term. Gender is more of a social construct, and in fact although it was originally a grammatical term dating way back to the 14th century, it was used more recently by people looking at the whole area of sexual expression to try and distinguish between a physiological description of male or female and how people feel about themselves, how they interact in society. So definitely a much more of a societal concept. So gender is different from sex, although often they are used interchangeably.
You write about disorders of sexual development, and I notice that what you do is you have male and female. It still operates within the binary framework, and those disorders are located between those two, not so much a continuum, but saying just to talk about morphologically or hormonally or even psychologically, these things still are male or female in some sense.
Yes, absolutely. And that's certainly the way they continue to be described scientifically.
What are the legal ramifications if we abandoned a binary way of thinking about the sex differences?
I guess in terms of legal, it would relate really to whether there are legal differences relating to male or female. And certainly societally and in the Western developed world, there has been a lot of work in recent years to move away from differences, from regarding males and females as different in terms of jobs, legal, that sort of thing. So I guess the areas where it's been most apparent are in things like athletics and sports, where there are males and females competing separately, and then there have been some challenges with women when it's been found that their chromosomes look as though they're a male, but they've been competing as a woman, for example. And certainly there have been issues in relation to restroom facilities and who do you allow to use, a male or a female designated restroom. Those sorts of areas, I think, are where some of the challenges are being seen.
Deaconess Cynthia Lumley is our guest. We're talking about male and female sex differences on this Monday, February the 6th. When we come back, it seems as though some of the terminology, the language, is simply designed to confuse. Boy Scouts of America accepting transgendered boys that turn out to be girls. That's confusing. We'll talk about that after this.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois invites you to an open house from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on Sunday, February the 12th. Take a tour, visit with faculty and administration, and find out more about financial assistance and scholarships. For more information, call Dr. Jay Krause, 618-656-0043, or send an email to j.krause@melhs.org. Open house at Metro East Lutheran High School, Edwardsville, Illinois, Sunday afternoon, February 12th.
Because Christ-centered preaching matters. Because His Word does accomplish that which He purposes. Because hanging out with like-minded Lutherans is important. Hi, I'm Alicia Herman, member of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I invite you to Redeemer. I particularly appreciate Redeemer as a church where God's grace enables us to see that our justification depends not on our performance, but solely on Christ's performance. If you're looking for a Lutheran oasis, where in a changing culture, the message stays the same, visit us in Fort Wayne or at redeemer-fortwayne.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, February the 6th. We're talking about male and female sex differences with Deaconess Cynthia Lumley, principal of Westfield House in Cambridge, England, and author of a chapter in the book Ethics of Sex titled Male and Female Sex Differences. The entire book deals with, well, among other things, this issue that we're talking about now. We're going to go on to talk about transgenderism. It deals with homosexuality, marriage, and family, the entire spectrum of issues that are raised today in our culture and in the church about the ethics of sex. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order Ethics of Sex from Taboo to Delight, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Before the break, you were talking about the confusion as to bathrooms when it comes to claims of certain genders. The very language used here, Deaconess Lumley, seems to be designed to confuse us. Recently, last week, I believe, the Boy Scouts of America decided to include as members what they call transgender boys that turn out to be girls who either believe they are boys or want to pass as boys. Very confusing. Talk about that, if you would.
I think it can, and it is definitely a challenge to try and communicate these issues clearly and in a way that people can understand. And in some respects, that this the book that my essay is published in is trying to at least make a start at explaining some of these issues in ways that can clearly be understood, and so that people appreciate some of the challenges and difficulties. Because I think one of the things certainly that I came across when I was doing research for my chapter is that you can't always take a black and white approach. We live in a world where there's lots of gray edges, and we have to be careful not to always use these labels without being clear about what we mean about them.
You also point out that when God created male and female, he also created husband and wife. Talk about the implications for marriage and family.
Well, of course, we go back to Genesis and creation, and Eve was given to Adam. So theirs was the first marriage, as it were. But I think the important thing to bear in mind for us is that as imperfect as our human marriages are, it certainly shows us a little bit about the relationship between Christ and his church. So Christ is the bridegroom and church as the bride. So it's an intimate relationship between male and female. It's a monogamous relationship. One male and one female, and in many ways, we can't talk about male and female and husband and wife without talking about Christ and the church.
When the family is pictured in Scripture exclusively in terms of the binary, male and female, and the, as you just mentioned, the pattern of salvation between Christ and his bride, or eventually in the consummation, his wife. It sounds as though tinkering with the ideas of male and female in society, if that finds its way into the church, could have disastrous theological consequences.
Absolutely. And this is one of the big challenges we face, that certainly the society is pressurizing us to move away from the binary system, away from male and female, and therefore away from scriptural teaching. And that is a clear danger for all of us, definitely.
In the end, what would you say to someone who says, I want to understand what's going on in society around me in terms of the push away from male and female as concepts, but I don't want to give in to that confusion and the chaos that follows? What would you say to them?
I think the first thing, obviously, is to refer to Scripture and remember the clear account we have there of God creating male and female, husband and wife, and how that reflects the relationship between Christ and his church. But I think the other thing to bear in mind is that we need to understand what we're talking about. And perhaps this is one area that certainly some writers have criticized the church for making pronouncements or statements without understanding maybe some of the medical issues that lie behind these pressures and these distinctions. So I think, you know, as we've already talked, the terminology can be confusing. The pressures that we're under from the outside world certainly are confusing, and it behooves us to be well-informed, to understand what some of the issues are, but always to bring those back to Scripture and relate them to scriptural teaching.
You say that he's writing, our sex/gender is so constitutive to our identity that we continue as male and female in the resurrection. That means every person has a true sex, even when we are unable to ascertain it in our fallenness. God knows. Why is that eschatological perspective so important for the church and people who struggle with these issues to maintain?
I think that really is such a good reminder that God works good in every situation, that he created us, he knitted us in our mother's womb, he formed us, and he has a plan and a purpose for all of us, plans for our welfare and not for evil. And I think bearing in mind that ultimately we're on a journey towards our final home in heaven with God, that's something that can give us hope in the midst of all of this chaos and confusion.
Before we let you go, what can you tell us about Westfield House there in Cambridge?
Well, Westfield House is the House of Theological Studies of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, a partner church of LCMS. It was established with help from LCMS in 1962 to train men for the ministry in the ELCE. And we also, since then, have developed programs with some of the Concordia universities and the two LCMS seminaries in the United States so that students come to us for a study abroad experience. And we also receive students from countries that don't have access to a seminary education, Africa, India, places like that. And through the generous support of a group in the United States, the Friends of Westfield House, we're able to provide scholarships for these students. So it's a lovely international community with students from around the world who live, worship, and study together.
You can find out more about Westfield House under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Deaconess Cynthia Lumley is principal of Westfield House in Cambridge, England, and author of the chapter in the book Ethics of Sex titled Male and Female Sex Differences. Deaconess Lumley, thank you.
Thank you very much.
On the other side of the break, it's part 52 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. We're in Luther's treatment on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' words in Matthew 6, do not be anxious. Stay tuned. What are some of the myths of gospel reductionism? I've written part two of an article titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel in the latest issues, etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joy Pullman of The Federalist writes about her journey from charismatic experientialism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
O morning star,
listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit WittenbergAcademy.org.
recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Christians young and old are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldusa.org. worldusa.org.